Welcome back to Wake Up Tri-Counties. I'm Sean Cardin. Thank you for joining us today. And now joining us on the line is the superintendent of Weathersfield Schools, Shane Kazabowski. And Shane, good morning.
Good morning, Sean. Thank you for having me on this morning.
Big week this week, Monday night, the seating of the new Weathersfield School Board with new members.
Yes, and it was a very exciting night, Sean. We did swear in newly elected board members, and it was a mix of both veteran board members and a mix of new board members. We swore in incumbent board members Steve Newman, Angie Ryan, and Allison Schultz. They've been with the Weathersfield School Board, one of them for two terms and two of them for one term. So it was nice to see that we had some veteran board members coming back to help lead our district. Veteran board member Sue Brody, she chose not to run in this last election, and I do want to recognize her and thank her for her 12 years of service to the school district. During those 12 years, we undertook a lot of changes and moved the district forward, and Sue was a vital part of helping her district move forward. Sue is truly going to be missed, and her leadership, it was astronomical, and I wish her well and her futures. And the other board member that we are going to be replacing is Tyrone Baker. One of Tyrone's goals was always to be a member of the Kewaunee City Council. And Tyrone did run for Kewaunee City Council in this last election, and he was elected. Tyrone served on our school board for 10 years, so he was in the middle of his third term. And because of state law, he's not able to hold both a school board seat and a city council seat. So Tyrone did resign from our school board at the April election. So that meant that we had to replace Tyrone also. And we're happy to report that our two newly elected board members that will be new to the school board, Paula Baker and Amber Troxell, they were sworn in on Monday night also. It's not a coincidence that Tyrone Baker, who resigned, and Paula Baker have the same last name, their husband and wife. Both Tyrone and Paula graduated from Weathersfield back in the early 90s. Their family, born and raised in Weathersfield, and both of their children graduated from Weathersfield, so they have long ties to our school district. And we're looking very forward to working with Paula. And the other person that we swore in, newly elected board member, Amber Troxell. Amber also has very long ties to the school district. Her aunts, uncles, and father were all graduates of Weathersfield. Amber was a graduate of Weathersfield, and Amber's husband, Brandon, was a graduate of Weathersfield. All of Amber's children are currently attending Weathersfield, one of which will be graduating this spring. So not only are we bringing in some quality people to join the veterans that are on our school board, we're bringing in people that have long ties and a love for the Weathersfield School District. They care about kids, and I'm really looking forward to working with our new school board. Again, it's a mix of veterans and new board members, but I think the mix is such that we're going to be able to keep doing some great things for the students of our school district, for our community, and continue to move our district forward.
That's really great to hear. Now, all other things that came up on Monday night at the school board meeting, talk to us about school meals. What's happening with school meals?
Yeah, and this is in limbo right now, Sean. And if you remember way back, it would have been probably in August when I was on your program. We talked about how the federal government passed a portion of the COVID relief package that allowed school districts across the country, and specifically at Weathersfield, to offer free breakfast, free lunch, and free suppers to all of the students, regardless of income, regardless of anything. So we took advantage of that program, and all year long we have been offering all of our students the opportunity to have, as I said, a free breakfast, lunch, and supper. There are rumblings going on right now that are saying that that program is supposed to be extended into next school year. We're being told that we should have official verification within the next couple weeks. Unfortunately, nothing moves fast in our government. We're trying to make decisions right now for next school year, so this is kind of in limbo, but we're hearing grumblings that that's going to be extended, and that's good news for the children of our school districts and the families of our school districts, that if that is extended. As soon as we hear word from the federal government that that program was indeed extended, we will get communication out to our families. But again, that's something that we've run all school year this year, and we're hopeful, based on the rumblings that we're hearing, that will be extended into next school year.
We're talking with the superintendent of Weathersfield Schools, Shane Kazabowski, and there were other items on the in discussion of the budget.
Yeah, the budget, things have changed a lot since we approved our budget back in September until now. There were things that we weren't aware of. When we say we, I'm talking about school districts all over the state and all over the country. Congress has, since the budget was passed back in September, has Congress, and I'm talking Congress, I'm talking federal level, they have passed two rounds of COVID relief that have a direct impact on school districts. And I know I've talked about the ESSER grants that Weathersfield is going to receive the last couple of times I've been on your program. Mm-hmm. But if you think back when the budget was passed in September to where we're at now, we had no idea that those large amounts of revenue was going to be available to our school districts that would allow us to do such things as improving the air quality in classrooms and throughout the building, upgrading our technology so that when we were forced to go on full remote, we were able to provide the devices to families that were in need, as well as when students were in school, we were able to provide those devices to our students also. So again, going way back to September to where we are right now, we had no idea that large amount of money, that large amount of revenue was going to be available. Because of that, we are going to have to account for that in our school district budget. It's more like flow through money. And when I say flow through money, what I mean is, we are required as a school district to make the purchases based on what the grants for ESSER allow us to. There's certain criteria that the purchases that we make have to fall within. And I just named a few of them: technology, air quality improvements. There's other things like food service to students, making sure that our buildings are clean and sanitized, because that's one of the things that we stressed all year long, hand washing, constant spraying of rooms to disinfect them and things of that nature. And that all costs money.
Right.
So school districts are required to expend that money up front. And then it's like a voucher program that we spend the money, we verify to the state and the federal government that we spent that money, and then they send us a payback for that money that we spent. So as a result, we have this expenses that weren't accounted for, and we have this revenue that's coming back to us that weren't accounted for. Even though it's flow through, we have to document that on our budget. So that's the majority of the changes that will be taking place when we amend our budget at our June 10th board meeting. Our budget will be placed on display on May 7th. Anybody from a community that would like to come and view the budget, they're welcome to do so. Office hours for our unit office are 7:30 until 3:30. Anyone can stop by and view the budget anytime. And I'm available to answer questions if anybody has questions on it. But again, that's a requirement that we're required to post that budget 30 days before the board officially acts on it. So by putting it on display on May 7th, that gives us the required 30 days before we officially act on it at our June 10th board meeting.
All right. Well, Shane Kazabowski, we're low on time, but I do want to talk about end of year activities and specifically about graduation.
Yeah, and there are a number, and I'll be quick with this, Sean. I know we're running out of time, but actually today, in about a half hour from now, we're going to hold our annual Honors Breakfast, which is an award ceremony where we recognize our high school students that have achieved above and beyond academically. Unfortunately, COVID restrictions have thrown a wrench in it this year, where because of the limited number of people we're allowed to have in one location, the Honors Breakfast is only going to include our seniors and senior families' parents today, and then the awards for our underclassmen and our juniors will be awarded during their English classes. But that's actually taking place today, and that's something, again, we're celebrating what we're all about, which is academics, and it's just a neat ceremony, and again, that kicks off in about a half hour from now. Our seniors' last day is going to be next Friday, which is May 14th, and we have always traditionally held a senior cookout for our seniors on their last day. Throwing COVID into the situation, our seniors have always gone on a class trip as well. But because of COVID restrictions and the fact that there's a lot of places where they traditionally go for their senior class trip not opened or are restricting them to people that can come in, what we're doing, instead of having the picnic out at our football field like we normally do, we're going to be busing our students out to our seniors out to Johnson's Park to have the cookout out there. Parents are involved in planning for it. All COVID mitigation strategies are going to be in place so that we're ensuring the safety of our students and those that are attending. But we're going to take them out to Johnson, set up some sand volleyball. The parents are planning a bags tournament for the students. There's going to be some fishing going on, and just a chance for our seniors to spend one last day together, because it is officially their last day before they kick into the next Friday, when graduation, the initial date for graduation taking place on our football field is May 21st at 6 o'clock, and we're hoping that weather permits and allows that to take place.
All right. Well, Shane, thank you so much. Go ahead.
No, and it's just a busy 2-3 weeks coming up, and
yes.
You know, we're all doing our best to make this last part of the school year special for our students.
All right, well, that's wonderful. Shane Kazabowski, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on, Sean. You take care.